Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sooner the better would be nice, but I think that someone's got to take it. You know, I think looking at the playing field right now, you can see the positives from both of those guys. In the meantime, other guys are stepping up, like Mike Bourget and Finnegan. So, but just keep competing. I think it's done some really good things for Jake. It's done some really good things for Gary as well.
Kalani Sitake on the BYU quarterback situation now that spring football is over, and we look ahead to the offseason and into fall camp. It's going to be a minute. But there's a lot to digest and a lot to talk about, a lot to speculate about, a lot of fun surrounding that. We always love that part of the season. For an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Getting better, Jeremy. I practice in the mirror for like 2 hours.
Two more weeks.
I'm not gonna have a voice by the time Alex gets back here, so that's all right. Jeremiah Jensen, Sam Farnsworth, Sam sitting in for Alex Keery, who's on sabbatical. We're not allowed to say exactly what he's doing, but we'll leave it at that. Sam, it's exciting. BYU football, so many question marks, and I think BYU is a wild card in the Big 12 next season. Things can go really, really good and they could exceed expectations, kind of like the basketball team. Or if things don't go well at the quarterback position and they have a couple more injuries, things could go south. I don't know. And I think they're one of the most intriguing teams moving forward next season. And, of course, nobody covers the Cougars like our own Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com, Cougar Insider. BYU's The Cut. Mitch Harper's next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
He never sleeps. He's Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com. Mitch, where are you right now?
I'm outside right now. Just picking up my kids from basketball practice right now. So I'm outside. And they'll be at least sleep in May. You know, that's as the cliche goes. We'll get a little bit of sleep in May.
Well, you're like all of us. We all have kids. None of us really sleep that much anyway. So sleep's overrated. Yeah,
impossible.
Right? Team no sleep, all of us here. So so much to dig into, Mitch. I'm going to encourage BYU fans. As I always say, nobody covers BYU better than Mitch Harper. You can find all his great coverage on KSLSports.com. He does it with the written word. He does it over the air. He's even done TV with us, man. You do all of it. All the video you do as well. Nobody does it like you. You've got a 2-deep depth chart out.
Even 3 at some spots.
Oh, wow. This is fun. As you're putting that together, Mitch, what are some of the things that stood out to you while you were doing that work?
Well, I think one of the big things that stands out to me is, you know, I think the offensive backfield, I think there's some real opportunity for BYU to, you know, I think go into the transfer portal. Does Aaron Roddick want to do that? I think that's the big question, because at quarterback, you know, he said, when I asked him if he's going to add another quarterback, he said no. The quarterbacks that are in the building right now, those are going to be the guys that lead BYU offensively this year. And I think a slight edge goes to Jake Retzlaff. But I got to say, Gary Bohannon in the final week of spring ball, I thought looked pretty good. I thought the best that he's looked to this point of spring. I think it's, you know, been low bar as far as expectations go for him. So that's where I'm kind of feeling like it looked pretty good. Still not Zach Wilson or Jaron Hall of this offense, but I thought he looked pretty solid. And I think he's going to have a real opportunity to try to beat out Jake Retzlaff for that job.
So Mitch, if they do go to the transfer portal, where do you think they target? Like which spot on the offense there?
Well, on the offense, definitely offensive line, and particularly in the interior of the line, offensive guard is where they need desperately some additions. Because if you look at my 2 deep or 3 deep, I've got Sonny Moccasini as the starting right guard. Waylon Lapuaho is going to be, you know, plug and play left guard. He's going to be outstanding for BYU. He brings the nastiness to that offensive line. He's got all Big 12 potential. for BYU, but the right guard position is a little bit thin. And Moccasini is a former Utah State signee at Attempt-View High School, but they need to upgrade there. And I think they need some depth in the portal. And I think that, you know, I think they'd be well served to get another running back too, because, you know, you've got LJ Martin, you've got Hinkley Rapati, you've got Miles Davis, but Davis and Rapati were two guys that the coaching staff has basically said these are role players at best in this program right now. And so now they're going to be elevated into bigger roles, and we'll see how they perform. But, you know, I think that BYU would be well served to get another running back, because they're one rolled ankle away from having to dig into that depth, which in previous years they said, you know, these are role players. Like Miles Davis had some big plays against Cincinnati, but then it never materialized into anything more beyond that game. So, you know, they looked pretty good in spring ball, Miles Davis and Rapati did, but still, I think that position's a lot more thin than you would think on the surface. And BYU's had a track record of really good running backs playing in the NFL. You think about Jamal Williams, Tyson Williams, Chris Brooks, Aiden Robbins, and then, of course, Tyler Allgeier. Those are guys making paychecks in the NFL. BYU's had a pipeline of getting good running backs. They should go into the portal and get one more.
I agree with you. I mean, maybe Miles Davis breaks out this year, but he was in the portal because until Aiden Robbins declared for the draft. So, you know, they probably need one more guy there to add depth in case someone goes down and to kind of push as far as the competition goes. LJ Martin's great, but again, sophomore coming back, who knows? I think they do need to beef that up. Everyone's thinking about the quarterback position, Mitch. I mean, it's all about the quarterback. Who's going to be the guy? I had a good conversation with Sly yesterday. We were talking about how important the quarterback is. I feel like BYU, you got to have a quarterback in this conference, and it's so important, not just on the field, but with marketing, with hyping up the team and the fans and with the media and the national media. You got to have a quarterback. You got to have a guy. You got to have a face of the team. They've got to figure out who that is. And, you know, you say that Retzlaff has an edge right now, but I feel like, Mitch, you tell me if I'm wrong, but the edge is the fact that Gary Bohannon doesn't know the offense as well as Jake does.
Yep.
If he does close that gap with knowledge of the offense in the fall, I think they want Gary to win this job. Do you agree with that?
100%. And I think that, you know, Bohannon, you know, he was still, as he acknowledged to me, you know, that shoulder was still a little bit sore on some days. And, you know, he started to learn that offense a little bit more. And I think the fact that Retzlaff didn't emphatically shut the door, he left it open. Yes, I think Bohannon's got a great opportunity to go win that thing. And do they want – I think they do want to see Retzlaff, what he can become. I do think that Aaron Roderick believes he can be a starting quarterback at college, in college football for BYU. That's why they signed him out of the JC ranks. But, yeah, Bohannon's got a real opportunity to go win that thing. And I think that that's a, you know, surprising development, because I think that Retzlaff would have had the clear inside track. But it'll be an opportunity for Bohannon to go win it as well.
And you've also talked about, and I know the reason why I'm going three deep on the quarterback position is because at BYU, look at it, the last handful of years, they've gone at least that deep at that spot, it seems, right? For whatever reason, injury or failure to perform or whatever. But you've been talking a little bit about Trayson Bourgain, this kid that came over from Western Michigan. You know, why do you think he chose BYU? Was it because he knew that there was an open competition here? And what do you think BYU likes about his potential moving forward?
He had a really strong relationship with Aaron Roderick. In the high school ranks, he was coming out of Arizona. His older brother played at Arizona State. And, you know, he really just struck a nice relationship there. And BYU was considering him as a scholarship quarterback out of high school, but that never materialized. And they offered a PWO status. He went to the scholarship route to Western Michigan and realized he didn't really like Kalamazoo, Michigan as an Arizona kid. So he wanted to move closer to West, takes on the PWO opportunity at BYU. And he just wanted an opportunity, kind of like Gary Bohannon just wanted an opportunity. And, you know, he's someone that I think you're right, that it's important to have three guys. And I think, honestly, that week one game is so interesting to me for BYU's quarterbacks, because, you know, Southern Illinois, you better hit the ground running. You can't have a 14-0 performance like you did against Sam Houston last year and say, oh, it's okay, the court you can get better in week two. You have a 14-point performance against an FCS team, you got to go to the next quarterback. I think it's critical for one of these guys to step in and just be excellent from the get-go, because if they're not, it's going to raise some real doubt. So whoever ends up being that QB's got to shine early on.
we're focusing a lot on the quarterback, but there's a lot of other things going on with BYU. What do you think was the most important thing that you learned about BYU in the spring?
BYU is going to be nastier on the defensive side, and we didn't even see the full collection of personnel on the defensive line for BYU, but they're going to be a lot better. And I think that there's enough signs in the personnel and the depth that there's reason to believe BYU will be able to generate sacks this year. And I think that's a positive direction. Maybe it's just simply a belief in Jay Hill. I think Jay Hill is going to be, you know, I don't doubt Jay Hill. He's in his second year with the program. And I think that, you know, BYU's defense is going to get better under his watch. So I think that's one of the big, you know, things that I learned coming out of spring was that this defense is going to be better.
Mitch, in your articles, in your projected depth charts, you talked about only including guys that participated this spring, but you did point out a couple of names of guys that will be joining the program over the summer, like Falateo Satuala, obviously the huge recruit from Bountiful, four-star guy. You got Cody Hagan on offense coming back from his mission. Are these two names I'm asking you about them because you mentioned them. Are these two names that you think will be playing a role this fall already?
No question. I mean, Cody Hagan, you guys know his time at Corner Canyon, he was outstanding. The speed that he has at the wide receiver position, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. Same with Tate Nakua from Tempe. Those two guys will be very good players. And Falatau Satuala on the defensive side, that's a special talent. And, you know, he's a four-star guy that had been down to BYU in Utah. And I think that he's going to have every opportunity to step in and compete in that safety position right away. And, you know, another name to keep an eye on that's going to be joining in the summer is Sonny Tuwala. He was a defensive end from the JC ranks. I've talked a lot about him, but I think he's going to be an instant impact player for BYU along the defensive front. And I like some of the personnel that they're bringing in the summer that's going to help build the depth of this team going forward.
You know, Mitch, another name, a young player, freshman I heard mentioned during spring from coaches, Zephyr Masiata, another guy that could see some time on the field for the Cougars this fall. Turning some attention to basketball now, BYU coming off a great season we didn't expect, didn't end the way anybody wanted it to, earlier than expected, but I think any BYU fan will take it. If they knew before the season that's how it was going to go, they were going to take that for year one in the Big 12. Let's start with Mark Pope. You know, it's another offseason, another round of Mark Pope being mentioned in other jobs. I don't think he's a serious candidate. I have no reason to believe that. It sounds like Eric Musselman of Arkansas is USC's top target, but Mark Pope is connected to that USC job as being a candidate. What are you hearing on that? What are your thoughts on that? And what do you take from this latest Mark Pope being mentioned in an open job situation?
Yeah, he's definitely a candidate as far as he's got a connection to Jen Cohen from their time at, you know, he was former Washington Husky and he's former Washington AD and she's now at USC. And, you know, he's in the mix. And, you know, he's someone that if Eric Musselman for some reason didn't end up getting that job, you know, that's when it could get interesting because then you're looking at Jamie Dixon from TCU, Mark Pope from BYU. I mean, there's some interesting options for that job. And I think USC is the type of place that big market, you got a lot more resources. You're in the Big Ten, which I don't think it's an on-court better product, but they're going to have a lot more resources. And even though the Big 12 is an outstanding basketball league, they're just going to make less money than the Big Ten and the SEC. And these coaches want the most resources. But, you know, I think Mark Pope still, as you noted, JJ, probably not the favorite at all for that job. But I think that, you know, he's someone that definitely is in the mix. And, you know, USC is going to be, you know, would be wise to look further into Mark Pope. And I think BYU, again, needs to extend him into the 2030s.
Mm. Yeah. What would it take for Mark Pope to leave BYU? Is it a money thing? Is it a resources? You mentioned resources. Would it be that? What would it be that would lure him away from BYU?
I expect it to be like around NIL. You know, NIL is so big, and he understands that. And Mark Pope is better than most in, you know, managing personalities. I think he's done a really good job of really managing egos at BYU in the NIL era and still getting the most out of rosters and, you know, managing the rosters and the money that these players are starting to make. I think he's done a really good job on that front. So I think having NIL resources and boosters that are committed to basketball is huge. And, you know, I think BYU's got a better basketball brand than USC, but at the same time, I think that, you know, are you committed to getting to the highest stages? And that's got to be the question for BYU moving forward to level up in the Big 12.
Portal season is underway in college hoops, and BYU's already been affected. Marcus Adams Jr. decided to transfer again. At least he's in the transfer portal right now. What changes do you anticipate could happen, and what do you know about that and maybe other guys that could leave? Obviously, we've seen what happened to Utah State with a lot of guys there and all that, but BYU, what do they have to do to keep their roster together?
I think one of the big things is to continue to have maybe commitments from NIL as far as roster retention goes, and there's more resources at BYU than I think people give them credit for. But I think that that's going to be a key piece for BYU going forward to maintain this roster. And I think these guys on this team want to play for Mark Pope. So they're committed to him. And, you know, I think that's what makes it so interesting. If Mark Pope was, you know, considered for other jobs, if he ever did leave, you know, what would then happen? Because they want to play for Mark Pope. And I think this program, they want to, you know, continue to build it up. And I think that, you know, this is a pretty good team that's already got a nucleus that was good enough to be fifth place in the Big 12, and now they want to aspire higher and see to take it up to a higher level. And but you know, right now they've got Marcus Adams, Tanner Hayhurst in the portal. He was a walk on. BYU's got one scholarship available for next season, and you know there could be more attrition, but I do believe that this is roster retention is going to be the big piece to what BYU wants to do, and it's just going to probably take some, you know, NIL commitments to, you know, retain these guys and do sort with that.
I thought I lost you there for a sec, Mitch. Sorry. With just talking about the portal here, you know, you see those names floating out there. Is there a certain player or position that you think BYU needs to target out of the portal to add to their roster for next year? Or is it just about maybe the recruiting pieces? Or what does BYU need to add to maintain what they were able to build here in year one of the Big 12?
I think it's easier said than done, but you always need like an athletic wing that can make plays off the dribble. BYU needs more of that. Right now, this current roster doesn't have much of that outside of Jackson Robinson, and Robinson's a guy that, you know, can definitely be gone next season. So I think that's where, you know, BYU really needs to make inroads and improvements on this roster. I think, you know, they can always add more size too. I think that's always a nice luxury that you'd like to have. But, you know, if you get Ali Khalifa back, you get Foose back, that's a pretty nice grouping, and then a Tiki Aliatiki as well. So I think that, you know, those would be the two areas to me that would be areas of focus for BYU.
Well, that's the latest on BYU football and men's basketball. Nobody covers them better than Mitch Harper. Go to kslsports.com right now. Check out the Two Deep, Cougar fans. Mitch has got it all covered there. The Two Deep depth chart is out. You can see where things currently stand. And again, like Mitch, you say, like, the portal's open again here pretty soon.
Time to go shopping.
And BYU ended spring early, so they might be at work on something. Who knows? So there's a lot to be looking forward and watching. Thanks, Mitch. We appreciate it. And good luck with all the taxing of kids today. I feel your pain. I'll probably have to do that once I get done here. So,
well, I appreciate it, guys. And, yeah, the post-spring window, it should be interesting with the portal and see what activity we'll – we'll have it all laid, all the coverage on kslsports.com, like you said.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. That's the great Mitch Harper.
Yeah.
Great info as always.
Always.
Quarterback position is so fascinating. And, you know, Sam, they've got to have a guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to belabor the point, but we saw what happened last year when there was, you know, things didn't go the way you wanted it to. And then, you know, Keaton gets hurt and then you're really in trouble. And, You're throwing a JUCO guy out there that's trying to figure things out, and there were moments, but then there's a lot of mistakes. In fact, there was mistakes that really cost you an Oklahoma game that shouldn't have been made, and you got to have guys at that position that can really stand out. And the Big 12 is going to be better next year, top to bottom. I know Texas and Oklahoma are leaving, so maybe it's not as tough at the top, and it's wide open because of that. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be. It's going to be an easier path. Arizona's coming in. Colorado, you know what Coach Prime's doing there. And Utah's a juggernaut. Arizona State's got a lot of work to do. That's going to take some time, but the three teams coming in are going to make the league better. And all three of the teams coming in, what do they have?
They have a great quarterback.
They have a star quarterback.
Yes.
Not just a quarterback. They have stars, proven star quarterbacks. BYU's got to have a guy that can become that or at least be good enough, and then they can make it up in other ways with other players or whatever. But you got to have a quarterback to win in the Big 12, and if BYU's going to take the next step, they've got to have better play at that position.
And I agree with you and Mitch when it comes to Gary Bohannon. I think they really want him to get up to speed with what they're doing, you know, just the terminology of the offense, the playbook, everything, so that he can be that guy. Because, I mean, look at the stats if you want, whatever, but he's a Big 12 champion, right? I mean, he led a team to a conference.
He's proven.
Right. And so,
when healthy.
And it feels like BYU's got a lot of weapons. You just go through that roster, that Mitch's depth chart there with Chase Roberts. And, I mean, that's the first name that comes to my mind.
I love their receivers.
Darius Lassiter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, they got really good receivers. I think they've added some guys at tight end. We're hearing all this buzz about Reiner Swanson. I know you don't want to lean on a true freshman too much, but he's hearing a lot of good things.
He's made some phenomenal catches from what it sounds like in the open windows that they get to watch. And what I do like is that BYU is continuing the competition. Whether they might already be leaning one way or the other, I don't know. But I feel like that's going to be the best situation for the quarterbacks, is that they're competing all the way till that last week before the season. And then, of course, they're not going to let us know until kickoff of game one. But I think it's a lot better situation than naming a quarterback now. There's no need to.
I sincerely believe they don't know, and I don't think they can name a quarterback right now. I don't think they know enough. I don't think 1 month is enough for Gary Bohannon to get command of the offense. I don't think that I think he had a good spring. From all I've heard, A-Rod said he didn't have one interception in practices.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. And Jake's fighting, and he's doing the best he can. But did he do anything to overwhelm and to say, I'm the guy, I've won the job? Clearly not. So let this play out into the fall, and let's figure out who the best guy is. But whoever it is out of these two guys, they better be good next year.
Yep.
Otherwise, BYU is going to be in some trouble. All right, we got to take another break. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.